Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Indie Authors Roundtable. I'm your host, R.L. Jackson, author of the Crashing and Bulwark series and the On the Set and Departed Soul series coming soon. I'm also the editor-in-chief of Indie Authors Monthly magazine. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Carol P. Roman, author of over 54 award-winning children's books. I also write under the pen name Britt London and authored both Bulwark and The Knowing in the Bulwark Anthology. I'm creative director of Indie Authors Monthly magazine, and I'm so glad you're joining us.
Well, hello, everyone, and today we would love to introduce you to Michael Okun. Michael Okun is the award-winning best-selling author of over 15 books, including Witches Protection Program, Monsterland, and Monsterland Reanimated. Michael writes full-time and lives on the North Shore of Long Island with his wife and children. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Laura.
So
welcome
much.
To the show, Michael. And I wanted to add that I have a special relationship with you. You can tell our listeners what it is.
I don't know who you are.
Oh, right.
No, I'm just kidding.
Sure.
Carol P. Roman is my mother, my true mother. I think she's my mother. People say we do look alike, but I sometimes question it. I appreciate you. Yes.
I want to say not only am I your mother, but I'm something else.
Best friend?
Yeah, well, of course. But I'm your momager, right? Yeah.
You're my momager. That's exactly right.
A momager is someone who
is a mother and someone who acts as my manager, so I don't make any terrible decisions, which I generally don't make terrible decisions because my mom would kick my butt, but she does keep me on the straight and narrow, and I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for her and her common sense, because sometimes I don't have that.
Well, I tend to disagree with you, but I really love, as RL knows, we love to market books, right, RL? So Michael is more creative and doesn't want to do the nitty-gritty work of marketing and promotion, and so I kind of took to that, much like RL promotes her own books. So RL, I think you want to kick off with a question?
Actually, I'm going to kick off with a review from someone, from Amazon. She said of your latest book, Witches Protection Program, Michael Okun has taken ideas from steampunk, Men in Black, Ghostbusters, and other satirical tropes and woven a short, laugh-out-loud, alternative reality that will have you up all hours. Yes, the mystery is fairly simple, but the mazes you enter to get to the end are witty, tongue-in-cheek, and just plain fun. We can only hope this wild ride continues for a very long time. Highly recommended, 5 out of 5 stars.
Thank you.
Well, I have one.
You had one, Carol?
Yeah, from Bianca Schultz of the Children's Book Review. The book is a young adult book, and she wrote, Michael Okun has brewed up a wonderful bubbling concoction with his easy-to-read style. The recipe, action, a lesson in consumerism, a little brewing romance, some steampunk weaponry, a plot twist, and in Okun style, elements of rich witch history. It could easily be likened to Men in Black meets the Witches of Eastwick, with a small amount of, honey, I shrunk the kids.
Wow.
I don't know if this is a question or a comment, but I'm blushing. It's exactly what I wanted to do for the books. It was my version of Men in Black. It was my version of Hellboy. When you write stories, they're perpetual. It's the same story just told a million different ways. I mean, Jaws and Aliens are the same exact movie. It's just set on different planets. One's in the water and one's out in outer space. It's the same story beat for beat. So you know, I took the ideas of, you know, there's an old adage in Hollywood, give me the same thing but make it different. And that's what I do for all my books. I take a pre-existing idea and I do a mashup on it. And it just so happens that Men in Black was part of the inspiration. I'm a huge Men in Black fan. I haven't seen the new one, though, Men in Black International. But it was along the lines of Goodfellas, Hellboy, and Men in Black, of these two factions of witches who have been fighting for centuries. And I don't want to give away too much. I'd love for people to read the book. But and it comes out, I think, on my mom's birthday. Yes, September 30th. It comes out. It's pre-order available now on Amazon. And
that's a great honor, Michael.
Oh, thank you. I mean, you're welcome. Yeah, I'm thrilled that, you know. Listen, my mom has helped me tremendously. There have been a million times where I've been stuck, you know, with dialogue, and my mom has always been the voice of reason, saying, no, you know, she wouldn't have said it like this. She would have said it like this. Or my brother as well, my brother Eric, who's the trifecta on our team. He would say, no, he wouldn't say it like that. He would say it like that. So there is a lot of words in these books that are peppered with my mom and brother's ideas, because I couldn't do this by myself. I mean, I lay out the foundation, and then we go back and we retweak it. And so far, the formula has been very successful.
But, you know, I write in a similar style. I don't know if you write like this, R.L., but I need to read my work to somebody. I'll come in the morning. We all, you know, Michael and I and my other son, Eric, we all work together. And I'll bring in, we all write at night, right, Michael? We write at night when everybody goes to bed.
Every night.
And
every night.
Every night. He'll bring in his story and read to us, and we'll comment that, you know, maybe that's not a good way to go, maybe like rethink your direction. And I'll read and they'll say, Mom, what are you thinking? That's not how people react, or that's not believable, or it's just not funny, or whatever. But do you, you know, RL, do you need to read, or do you just, are you like, you have to sit, work, and not interact with people?
Yeah, no, I just write and that's it. I don't have, you know, anyone to bounce things off of in that way. But the way I kind of do it, because I don't have, you know, that sort of system in place, is I will write and leave something alone for a few days, go back and read it, and with a fresh mind. But yeah, not as lucky to have, you know, people in the business to, you know, to bounce things off. And I think that's a really, you know, awesome system you guys have, to be honest.
I have to tell you, I think it really works, because I'm of a certain age and a certain dynamic with people. Michael's of a different age. Eric's of a different age. And so I think when we all sit together and read to each other, because that's what our morning looks like, Michael, would you agree that you take away more after talking to people or even other people in our office? Sometimes you'll run something past them and it changes the dynamics of your story.
Yeah, you know, RL, I would never, like, tell you how to change your creative process. Your creative process is your own. But any advice that I'd be willing to dispense, if you want to take it, you know, it's completely up to you. It doesn't have to be a family member that listens to your stuff. I mean, I've pitched people at Starbucks. I'm online. I'm going, you know, I'm working on a book. I don't know you from a hole in the wall, but it's a story about the creature from the Black Lagoon meets Indiana Jones. You know, it's the story called Drag Down Deep. I'm in the middle of right now. I actually finished it, but I'm actually retweaking the script a little bit because it's too similar. You know, the point of your work is to read it to anyone and explain it to anyone and pitch it to anyone, because there's always feedback and someone's going to say, nah, I'm not really into that. I would never see that. I mean, I pitched the idea of Witches Protection Program to one of my cousins, and he said, I would never see that. That's not a story that I would be interested in. And I completely respected it. I still wrote the book and I still wrote the screenplay for it. But
yeah,
I like getting ideas from everyone, specifically my mom and brother. And I'm very fortunate to have that network in front of me. But, you know, my mom is a busy lady and my brother is also very busy. So there are times where I'll walk out into the office, or I'll talk to my wife, or I'll talk to my kids and go, you guys like this? And they give feedback. So it's not just always about, you know, I work with mom and Eric. I mean, that is primarily the case. But other than that, I've spoken to friends about it, and some have laughed in my face and go, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. And some people go, my God, I'd be the first one online to buy that book or go see that movie if it ever gets made into a movie. So, you know, keeping it to yourself is great, and I understand why people do that. I like people's ideas. I actually heard a really great story one time that the movie Armageddon, you remember that movie Armageddon with Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck back in like the late 90s? Classic, right? Like Michael Bay's finest, like one of the greatest, you know, one of the most fun, exciting movies ever. That movie, from what I heard from the story, I don't remember where I heard this from, but it was, I think it was part of the screenwriting forum I was in or one of these classes I was taking. The ending of that movie was so perfect, and it turns out that they were just asking people on the streets, how do you think we should end this movie? Because they were stuck.
Wow.
And they were going around to people in New York City saying, I'm writing a movie, there's a movie being made, and it's about an asteroid, and it's hurtling to Earth, and here's the story about a man, and he's, you know, he's on this thing, and, you know, one person's like, well, he's got to sacrifice himself, you know, for the greater good of humanity, and blah, blah, blah. So, again, this is just talking to random people, and, you know, one or two guys got writing credit, or three people got writing credit on Armageddon, but really, they were taking ideas from as the quote unquote anyone off the street. So you know, you can pitch and read your books anywhere if that is what you're looking for. And that's what I've done.
I don't keep
anything to myself. I love telling people what I'm working on and my creative process because it works for me.
You have I want to say that you have a unique writing process that most authors I know R.L. may be like this too. I'm not sure. I'm kind of thinking she might be because she does screenwriting too. But you always write a screenplay first, right? Is that correct? And then
always.
Yeah.
Always. I can't. I will never, ever, ever for the rest of my life be able to write chapter one. I can't do it. I always have to write the screenplay first because I have to know the entire beats of all the characters. I have to know their arcs. I have to know where the character's going. I have to know what's going to happen on the last page. And then after I write the screenplay and, you know, I tighten it up with, you know, my mom or brother or anyone that's willing to listen or to read a screenplay. My wife, Sharon, has been very instrumental in a lot of my stuff. She's also, you know, said, this is a silly scene. Or, I love this. Beef it up, whatever. So she reads every one of my works as well. And then after the screenplay is done, which takes generally about, I would say about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't really like to dawdle. Like once I have an idea, I'm two and a half weeks in and I'm done. I don't want to have to think about that script anymore. And then I go and I take it and then I write chapter one because I know what the book's going to be about. And, you know, 18 books later, it's still working. I'm working on three screenplays right now. And I'm having a ball doing that. But again, I wouldn't be able to do this if I didn't have the support team, you know, between
my
wife, my mom, my brother.
I can't know what my story is. I have to write a story from scratch, and I can't. I don't write screenplays at all. But R.L., you write screenplays. Do you write them first, or you write your book first and then adapt it?
With the screenplays, like, it's a little different between each. For the books, any idea I have, I see in my head first. I see the movie first, even with screenplay. So I play it out first in my head, and then I always write the end first. And it has to be something that is compelling for the
end.
I've
done that.
And then, And then
so
I go.
You two are very much alike.
That.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
and then, and with the books, I will do a complete, like, there's this formula I came up with where I do a complete world breakdown. I know what my character's favorite food and color is, but I make sure I have all of that, and then I place it into this circle beat that I cut in four, so it's like a pie chart. So I have all of this, like, math and stuff going on that I plaster in front of me, and then I can start to write the book. Or when I have those beats for the screenplay, I could then write the screenplay. It's a mess in my head, but it works.
RL, no. That is so similar to my process. I have to know what my character's favorite foods are. I have to know what they look like. And it really is generally an actor or an actress in mind. It's never, mm-hmm. I never go into a script without knowing who's going to be the star of this vehicle. It's always, at 100%, I have to know their entire background, which always helps during the book process, but not so much during the screenplay. Screenplay, you got to be short. You got to be brief. Mm-hmm. You got to punch out those lines. You can't really dive into, like, what the characters are thinking. But in the book, tell me what color the door is. Tell me what color the door is. why that door has been that color for the last 150 years. Like, there's a definite difference. Yeah. And I love both mediums. It's so much fun to be creative. I just wish they would make them into movies. That's all.
I think RL has a question about that.
Yeah, sure. Speaking of movies, since we've been gabbing about that, I hear that you're in the works to get Witches Protection Program and I think a few of your other titles turned into films. And how has that process been for you so far?
Well, I can give you the funny version or the serious version. I mean, the funny version is, you know, I don't even want to give you that version. The point is, it sucks, okay? It absolutely sucks. It's so hard, and it's so long, and it takes forever. So right now, yes, you are 100% right. Witches Protection Program, the screenplay is being shopped around by my agent to all of these studios, and there's one particular studio who's very interested for their TV division. And I'm not a big TV guy. I've watched two shows in my entire life, The Sopranos from start to finish and Game of Thrones from start to finish. I'm not a TV guy. I don't like TV. I don't like watching it. I used to watch Seinfeld and Home Depot back in the day, Home Improvement back in the day. But now, I mean, I'm really not into any TV. That's not my wheelhouse. I love film. I love movies. Movies are limited. They're 2 hours and you're done. TV is just years and years and years of commitment. So right now there's a studio that's interested for Witches Protection Program for TV. I've been promised things before, and I've been told, keep your hopes up, don't keep your hopes up. You know, so I could say right now I'm a weathered veteran of Hollywood because I'm very happy with the progress it's made, but my hopes are as high as my knees. It makes no difference. You know, if they take it, it was meant to be. If they don't take it, there'll be another. As you know, or as you may not know, my book Monsterland has been circulating throughout all of Hollywood for the last 2 years. And the guy who had it was a producer who makes movies. That's his job. His job is to make movies. And he loved my book, and he hired screenwriters to pitch it. And it wasn't my expectation, but they still wanted to make this movie. And it turned out that nobody wanted it. So the option ran out, and now, you know, the book is still being shopped around by my agent. So
I want to interrupt you here, Michael. I don't think it's a matter that they didn't want it. I think what happens is it's all about timing in Hollywood, as with TV. You know, right now everything is streaming and they're all episodic. So TV isn't even like TV anymore. They're like mini movies, you know, with all the zombie stuff that they have out. And from what I hear, witches are the new big thing on TV. But, you know, to me, your whole experience with Hollywood is, and I think RL has had a similar experience, it's all about holding your breath, waiting for this exciting moment to happen, and then it's a big disappointment because it never quite comes to fruition. You know,
but it's
really frustrating.
I'm going to call you mom in this interview. I'm not calling you Carol.
Okay.
But the disappointments, like, the good thing is that, like, this isn't the first disappointment. Like, it really is disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And I'm a very, very, very positive person. My entire family are very positive people. I look at every single no that's come as just as another like notch up on that rocket explosion. It's just another no, and the rocket's getting more jet fuel. Another no, the rocket's getting more jet fuel. Another no, the rocket's getting more jet fuel, until one day someone's going to say yes, and it's going to take off and explode. It's not going to be this little fizzle up taking off. It's going to be this explosion. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe it's not even I went to a psychic 2 weeks ago, about a month ago, with my mom and brother. And he's like, do you believe in the afterlife? And I'm like, yes, I believe in the afterlife. He's like, no. He's like, do you believe you love your children? I said, no, I love my children. He's like, there's no such thing as belief. You either love it, you either love your children or you don't love your children. Well, I love my children. Do you believe in the afterlife? No, you don't believe in the afterlife. There is an afterlife. That's how I feel, okay? I don't believe my books are going to get made into movies. My books are going to get made into movies. My screenplays are going to get picked up. It's just a matter of when. And that
well,
when
I want to add
when,
I want to add that even his early works, which you know he wrote under a pen name, Michael Philip Cash, originally, until he was discovered, and then they asked him to write under his real name, Michael Oaken. But even as an indie, his books were looked at by Hollywood without even an agent. They picked up his books, as yours are, RL, are very, they play like movies. You know, everything I've read that you've written, RL, to me, is a movie. Everything that Michael writes, the two of you are like in sync the way you produce your work.
Right.
You're very visual people. And it's just, even without an agent, which is almost impossible, he was picked up by a mega producer who actually considered it. And again, it was a disappointment. But I think what Michael's trying to say is all it does is make you try harder and try, if not now, it'll be the next time.
And that's exactly right. And it does take anyone that's going to say, oh, it's no big deal. No. When I said in the beginning, it sucks. Like, yeah, you don't want to hear you're rejected. By the way, RL, I have a question. Do you have an agent?
I don't have an agent, but I know a ton of them. just to kind of chime
agent?
In with everything. I wouldn't mind having an agent. I would never not, get an agent. That just helps me. But your experience, like your mom said, is just like when I first did my run-in with Hollywood, it was for a vampire trilogy back in like 2010, 2011. And, when it first got started, somebody was like, oh, it might take 5 or 10 years to get this movie made. And I was devastated. I was like, what the hell? And here it is, 2019.
Yep.
And it's still the same thing. But it's what I was going to say when you were telling your story about the little bit of the fuel, every rejection is fuel. That's exactly what I was going to say. You're in play. They know who you are. They know you have the talent. They know that the chops are there. And every time you submit something or every book that you release, that's just gearing them up to take you on and take you seriously. And they're going to say, you know what, we're going to go ahead and do it. It's just kind of like what your mom said. It's about timing. But TV, I'm going to tell you,
absolutely.
Although they don't take a lot of TV seriously because, film is always going to be the standard, TV is huge right now. Like, people are obsessed with these shows, so don't be discouraged if it goes to TV. Like, that's years and years like you said, commitment. But it'll be awesome.
I think that Michael will take
certainly.
Anything. I think he'd even take straight to video if somebody would just put his vision on any kind of celluloid. I don't think he really cares, right, Michael?
I you know what, Mom? There is truth to that, but you know what? I do believe I ultimately want it to be a film. I want it to be a movie a la Quentin Tarantino. I understand what you're saying about TV, and believe me, if this company does come through and we get an agreement saying, yes, I'm really interested, we want to option this for Witches for TV, I would never tell them, no. I would never say that to them. I would say, yeah, sure, let's do it. I'd love to be involved creatively, but if you don't want me to be, I understand. It's your world. Just do what you got to do. But the source material is there, and really what this all boils down to, and I do believe in hard work, but it's not really work if you do what you love. And I do what I love. I know my mom certainly does what she loves, and it doesn't feel like work to me. So when you get rejected, it does sting, but it doesn't take the wind out of our sails, especially me. It's like, okay, another rejection. It's just another notch up. We're going to get it. We're going to get it, and I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, And I guess that's the fun of it. That's the fun of life being a movie. You never know how it's going to end. And I actually have, I wrote a story that was one of the second movies I've ever written. I was like maybe 16 years old, and I wrote a story called Heavenwood. And it's about this guy who dies, and he has to rewrite his life as a screenplay. And he's like, this is baloney. Why would I have to write my life as a screenplay? And really, you know, I believe we're all living a script, and you don't know what the next page is going to be, just like you don't know what the next minute of a movie is going to be. And I do believe in a higher order of things. And, you know, I know it's going to happen. I don't believe it.
I love your outlook, because that's the exact same way I am. I keep getting kicked in the teeth, but I'm not going to ever say I'm not going to write and I'm not going to get my films made. But that show, that movie idea you just had, you need to go back and revisit it and polish that up, because that's like a very that's not something I've ever seen done before. You know, they say there's no original ideas in Hollywood. That's original as hell. So you might want to go polish that up, seriously.
I was thinking of it. I have a whole rework for it. But no, Heavenwood was my second screenplay I ever wrote. It's you know, registered under the Library of Congress and the Writers Guild of America, and I keep renewing it every year. But, yeah, I pitched that to my agent, and she loved it. Speaking of agents, if you want, RL, I don't want to overstep my boundaries in this interview. I mean, I know that I'm supposed to be interviewed, but if you need a lit agent, I could definitely introduce you to my agent in New York. He's a great guy. His name is Nick. I can't promise you if he's going to sign you, but maybe you get one of your stuff read, and maybe he's going to say, yeah, I'll sign you. But, you know, if that'd be something that you'd be into.
Oh, that'd be so sweet, and hell yeah, I'd be into that. I appreciate that so much.
All right, Mom, I hope I didn't overstep my boundaries here.
No, you didn't. But what I want to say is, let me tell you something, RL. This is my daily life. This is what I live with every day. My sons are an inspiration to get up every morning. Mm-hmm. They are so full of energy and hope, and they always help. You know, I know I have a reputation. You always tell me I help people on the thing, and you do too. You're a very, that's how we connected. But this is my world, and you know what? It's a great world.
You're right.
It
we
is.
Have
and
talked.
No,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say that, you know, after the interview's over, Mom, I know that you and RL have swapped email addresses a million times. Just forward me one of her emails.
I'll take care of it.
My agent.
I got you covered.
Yeah, and RL,
right,
here's
awesome.
The deal. This is my only thing. If you get a 10-book publishing deal and they make it into an HBO miniseries, I just want to be invited to the premiere. I don't even want to cut on the phone.
Okay?
All right? I'll be your date to the premiere. I don't know if you're married, husband, boy, whatever the case. Just that's my only request, okay?
You got it. I would only be
done,
so lucky to
deal.
Be in
Perfect.
That position. But, we're going to wrap up a bit. We actually have our two-minute warning. This interview, has been so much fun, Michael. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
We didn't get to
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Many of our questions. No, it's been awesome. Could you tell our listeners where to find you online so they can get a hold of your books?
Yes, michaeloken.com, monsterland.com. My mom has me on all the Instas and the tweets and all that stuff. I don't like social. I'm not a big social media guy, but you know, I'm on LinkedIn and I'm under Michael Oken and wherever they could find me online, that's where they'll be able to find me online. I think people would
it's
know.
It's the typical
I'm on Amazon
michaeloken.com. Anyway, you know, with Facebook,
yes.
Whatever. He's always under his regular name.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Awesome.
And I don't know what other questions you had, but if you need like three quick questions, boxer briefs, long walks on the beach, and I love to eat red meat. And that's about it. So I don't know if those were any questions that you were going to be asking, but that was it.
Oh, that's too funny. Well, we weren't going to ask that exactly, but it was great to find out. But
okay.
I want to thank
All
you
right.
so much for joining us today, Michael, and spending this time with us. It's been absolutely amazing. To our listeners, remember, if you want to stay up to date with Michael and find out more information about his book,
Visit him at Michael Okun, MichaelOkon.com. And that you could also find him like that on Facebook and Twitter. This is R.L. Jackson saying so long for Carol P. Roman. We'd like to thank our guest, Michael Okun, and all of our listeners. We hope you'll tune in for another Indie Authors Roundtable, where we bring the latest in books, authors, and indie publishing to the table. Have a great day.